Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello. Hello, Goldie, and hello, everybody. I'm glad I'm here tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here tonight, too. Our beautiful Janine has a little bit of a little flaggy in her throat.
but I'm doing much better than Saturday and Sunday, so.
Well, heat makes a big difference.
Oh, yes, I got heat. The heat was off Friday night, but I got it fixed, and me and the kitty are much warmer now, and I'm happy to be here. I might sound a little different, but not really. So,
yeah, no, you sound good. I mean, she just might take breaks to clear her throat or cough, and you know, we were kind of joking before we came on, but you guys don't need Purell. It's not like you can catch anything.
Yes, we're not promoting Purell tonight either.
No, we're promoting the organic path and. We are promoting actually, the more I think about it, we are promoting many dark things and the stuff that, you know, most people just want to get rid of. That's not mine or Janine's philosophy. We're not here to get rid of anything. We're here to integrate it all.
Yeah, you know? The real and the organic.
The real and the organic. Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. So, we both had some pretty intense weeks this week. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I did. I think you did. I mean, I know you were with me during a good portion of it, so I know I would assume that part was intense for you. I don't know if.
Everything just sort of being highlighted as, you know, authentic and real and organic or not. And, you know, yeah, so, and I've been along with you too. So, and resting my throat at times, but I'm excited about the show tonight because I just felt that we love to, really talk about what's current and synchronistic. And I want to stay with that. So I didn't want to miss. And, and I just noticed that every week we have really what is current and synchronistic, I think, for us and for the listener. So it's really fun, too, to witness that, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, some of it wasn't fun for you, but, so it's all coming back to me.
Well, it's so fun to witness it when you get through it. And
when you get through it and you look back, yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, it is definitely clear to me getting through it, it has the potential to get through our situations definitely has sped up, you know.
That's true.
And I don't know if it'll ever stop speeding up. I have a feeling it, you know, time is literally working its way out. In other words, you know, we're almost at the pinnacle. I mean, Friday is October 28th. I mean, that's the end of the Mayan calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Which in and of itself is just profound. For some reason, it's been quite profound for me that I'm alive and I'm a human on this side of the veil experiencing the end of the Mayan calendar. You know, this calendar basically was, you know, a chronological count of billions of years. You know, in 4 days, it's ending. I don't know why. That just seems, well, I don't know why. You know, okay, showing me. how profound is that when you really kind of just sit with it? You know, we could sit with a lot of things, but sitting with the end of a form of timekeeping that, you know, if you basically ask anybody on the planet, from spiritual person to scientist to shaman to priest, you know, they all agree there's a profound accuracy to it. So What does it mean that this calendar ends in 4 days?
Yeah.
You know, stay tuned. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah, maybe that's why things seem like sped up in terms of, like, and I'm not sure about this, but when you said getting through something and then it seems to process quicker, and this could be because of the current time, but I also think it's because when you're willing to stay with something and not resist it, you actually do process it quicker.
I agree.
Yeah, so it's probably a few factors going on here, but
definitely.
Yeah, and I, you know, I've been so fascinated with the ability to, quote, hold the space in creative tension or when things are difficult, so to speak, and when you can hang in there and ride it, it's so much different than the running away from it or the resisting of it. So that, I think that's one of our themes tonight.
That's a huge theme. I mean,
yeah.
Boy, may everyone have a little Janine rain on their day. Because, this is good a time as any to share what you know, one of the things we're going to talk about. this weekend, I had a really profound experience that my cat went missing in my house. And I know, you know, if you just leave it at that, we could literally, you know, I could gloss over this and go, yeah, ha, 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 you know, couldn't find my cat for a few hours. You know, yeah, it was a little scary, and that was all. But this is, you know, the Mystical Mother Earth show. It was such a deeper experience than that. And, you know, as the weekend continued on, I was immediately like, oh, we're going to share this on the show. And Janine completely agreed, because the feeling that I was having when I couldn't find her, I mean, it started off as just a concern. But my cat was missing for like 4.5 hours. And progressively as time went on, I literally entered a sensation of being just completely, completely paranoid. Like, I felt vulnerable to the absolute max. I felt more alone than I have felt in years. It was this unbelievable situation. The best way I would describe it is, I had all the sensations that I used to feel when I would do cocaine till, like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then from 3 o'clock in the morning till like 9 o'clock in the morning, deal with all the paranoia that comes with doing, you know, lots of cocaine. And it was really quite bizarre. And one of the things I want to, you know, when I said may we all have a little Janine rain down on us, I have seen in my life, like, when people are in that sort of space, I mean, I was not in, I mean, I literally called Janine and she's like, hey, and I'm like, it's not good. I'm not good right now. You know, and she was like, you know, you could just feel her, like, you know, she hit the brakes on, you know, whatever mood she was in and just immediately came into my space and it was like, okay, what's going on? And, you know, I couldn't find my cat. And to any of us, if you own pets, you know that, I mean, they're family. There's, you know, hands down, Dakini's not just my family. You know, she's my kid, my best friend. As Polar Bear pointed out, I'm really never alone because I have Dakini. And her not being around, you know, for these, she actually all weekend, she was in and out of visible sight to me. But one of the things that I really noticed with Janine is Janine was not she was not intimidated. And that is the word I'm using consciously. She was not intimidated by me feeling really bad. And like, I was in a dark space. I was not, I mean, it's really hard to explain, but by the time I called Janine, I really was at, you know, as close to as dark as I got, where I just felt like I'm never going to see Dakini again. You know, my cat, who's like my kid, you know, something happened that was bizarre. You know, she's not in the house. I don't think anybody came into the house to get her. And what was really upsetting me, not just the fact that Dakini was missing, was the idea that I couldn't wrap my head around where she could be. I mean, like, I checked the house more times than you can count. Again, that's part of what reminded me of when I was an addict. You tend to do things very repetitively. And she was just nowhere to be found. I mean, you know, she's got her spots, but my cat is pretty much, when I'm in the house, she's with me. It's as simple as that. She's my companion. I mean, she's here right now. I'm doing the radio show. She's in the room with me, you know, while I do it. That's her norm and has been for the last 10 years. And so with her not being there, and it wasn't like I kept telling Janine, I could handle it if I saw her get hit by a car. And I'm not wanting that to happen, of course. It's just a matter of if I saw her go down, I could begin mourning that she wasn't around. But because I didn't know where she was, it's like I had no center in my experience. I really just freaked out. And Janine not only stayed on the phone with me, and as I put it, Janine went to hell with me. I mean, I know everyone that's listening to the show right now, whether archive or live, I know we have all experienced someone who's dying or something that happens really bad to a person. Most people, if you think about it, including ourselves, really don't know how to be around the person that's going through this really bad experience. You know, we don't know what to say. We walk on eggshells. You know, it's a very, it's an uncomfortable place. We want to help the person, but we really are at a loss many times in how to do that. And by golly, Janine just, like I said, she just came, you know, I was in hell, and, you know, she didn't even take the stairs. She jumped. I mean, because not only did she talk to me for however long we talked, I don't even remember. And then at one point I was like, okay, let me hang up because I was just becoming a schizophrenic. I just couldn't think anymore. And, you know, Janine was just like, all right, call me when the cat shows up. Just call me when she shows up. And I was like, okay. And then like an hour later, I mean, Janine called me back again. And Dakini had not come back, you know, at that point. And I just couldn't believe that she called back again, unsolicited, on her own. She chose to come back to hell. It's just like, I mean, truly. And it was funny because we talked for a few minutes, and then we hung up, and within 2 minutes after hanging up that time, Dakini showed up.
Yeah.
You know, which is, yeah, that from a synchronistic point of view, it was just, you know, true friends. And it's not just true friends because I don't even want to, it's really this ability to endure challenging times. I mean, that is what I think we're all being prepared for. Because the funny part was the following day, Dakini pulled a disappearing act again. And, of course, this time because of the emotional shift that I went through the night before, I just chose, I'm like, I'm not doing, you know, she'll be back. You know, I don't know where she goes, to be honest. I talked to my 4-year-old, who I nanny for, and asked if there was a portal in the house, and my 4-year-old said, yes, it's in the den. So, in all honesty, I do a lot of talking on my radio shows, on Facebook, you know, in my personal life. I do a lot of talking about multidimensionality. So it would be hypocritical for me to not at least have the option that Dakini is going in and out of a portal, and that's why I can't find her anywhere in the house. You know, that is a possibility, and I believe it's a distinct possibility of what's happening. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is October 28th, according to George Kavassalis, who, by the way, will be on the show on Thursday, he is saying that the portals for people are going to start opening starting on the last day of the Mayan calendar. So, you know, would it surprise me that Dakini's already, you know, playing around in these portals? No, actually, it would not surprise me. But my reaction was really, you know, it hit me from left field. I mean, I was not expecting myself to react like that. And, you know, the truth is, and what at least my truth is, you just got to ride those storms out. You just, you know, like, you know, I tried to watch TV. I couldn't do anything. I kept the house really quiet because I kept trying to hear if she was meowing somewhere, if she was caught somewhere. Again, it was the weirdest thing because it really it emotionally affected me. I mean, you should see at this point, there's no taking advantage of the time when Dakini's with me. It is unbelievable how my gratitude for her being in my life is so heightened since this weekend. You know, these are what I believe are, you know, the gifts of the integration. Because I also get the sense that, you know, I was talking to my kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And when I say kids, for anybody who doesn't know, I'm a nanny. And I was just asking them, you know, I was like, do you feel the earth quaking and shaking? They said yes. Mm-hmm. I asked them if they felt if spaceships were in our atmosphere but invisible. They said yes. I asked them if they felt the water was rising. They said yes. Because I have my instincts tell me the kids and the animals, they kind of know ahead of time. And adults know, but we'll either, you know, negotiate our way out of it through, you know, whatever means we use, or we'll distract ourselves from getting a genuine sense of what's going on. But, you know, something's going on. let me stop at that for now, because I want you to chime in from your perspective, Janine.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, of course, you know, I do call it holding the space, which is an art, and I think it comes from, I mean, experience and possibly, you know, just someone who may have that ability or nature. But I've been on both sides. I've been in, you know, where you were, and I've held the space and been in some really, you know, scary places with people when they've gotten difficult news, or, you know, I've helped so many people in labor and delivery as a nurse and a lot more than that, and that doesn't always go well. So you are literally with perfect strangers who become very close to you very quickly, and you are in very intense situations with them, and you are, you know, they're looking to you to help you, to help them, you know, make it through something. And sometimes it's wonderful, and sometimes things aren't so easy. So, you know, I've had a lot of practice in my personal life. If I were freaking out, panicking about my kids or my own animals or someone that I've heard is, you know, possibly sick or me. And, you know, I just, so I know what it's like, and I think that's where the empathy comes in. You know, I knew. I mean, you were activated. I've been activated. It's not about talking you out of it. It was just about being with you and being really sober-minded, you know, like very, I was just, you know, I was just your wingman, you know, and you know, it's amazing because, you know, for you to call on me like that, you know, is also, as much as you were complimenting me, I'm complimented by you calling me. Hold on, I'm going to cough, everybody. So sorry.
No, but, you're fine, babe. I mean, I'm sorry you're coughing, but...
No. But I do think, because of your trust that you activated with your initiation art, you are really calling on your trust.
Yeah, this is... Because everything that's been happening since I did the activation piece...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I know you can look at it that way, but it really is. Everything is about trust.
Everything.
Because everything. Because I realized that the attachment that I was holding with Dakini was really about, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but it's like I had this belief in my head, Dakini's going to be the one that's going to walk me through these fifth dimensional portals.
Yeah.
If she's not here, how am I going to get there?
Okay,
and once again, giving my power away.
So trust is the huge issue here because, and it's an incredible issue that, you know, all of us live with moment by moment. And it's amazing what strength you can draw from, you know, knowing that you've got to just trust something and hold. Oh, this is bad. Hold on. I don't like my tickle in the throat, but, you know, I just know that trust is the opposite of control. And that's what, yeah, it really is. And when you said to me, you know, okay, so your idea that Dakini would go through with you as a companion, letting go of any attachment to any outcome is really the freeing thing that we all need to do. Like, however we perceive it, see it, plan it, like what I've noticed lately is the only answer I have is just be in the present. Just be in the present, you know, and that's how then you're not attached to the outcome, but you're just going to be there. You're going to respond. You're going to, you know, you're going to know, you're going to feel. And like, that may not be the answer, but it's really what I'm feeling, you know.
I put it this way. Anything you do in presence.
Yeah.
Is almost like amplified with soul, and soul is such a different perception of chaos than mind or ego.
Yeah, and we all know that what we've perceived like should happen, could happen, we want to happen, but all the amazing stuff always happens completely like in a moment, you know, nothing that we said, oh, I knew exactly how that was going to be. So I think it's great practice, you know, whether Dakini walks with you, is with you, you know, goes before you, comes back out. You know, it's all about just letting go of those perceived outcomes, and then you're literally free. And you know, that's what this is all about. I mean, trust really is letting go of any kind of need to know. And an attachment to the outcome, and
the mind does not want to play by these rules.
No.
The mind just gets, you know, I have been flipped the bird by my own mind.
But you know, another thing that's really cool for people, and you can, you know, we can go there because when you have a visceral experience like you just had, you literally have a better knowing more than ever because it's so current, and in your present mind, you're so aware that you literally know, this is what it feels like to be activated, and you're like, and then you can kind of, you know, I guess you become, I don't know, more artful at it or more skilled or, you know, just like the next day you had a little taste and you went, nope. It's, you know,
exactly. And it wasn't phony. It was simply...
No.
Well, because one of the things that I didn't mention to the audience is that what was really interesting is when Dakini did show up on Friday night after being gone for, I don't know, 4.5 hours, at that point, I still could not get out of the
funk
that I had brought myself into.
Right. It wasn't an instant recovery.
Not even close.
No.
I mean, it was like sticking to me like honey, and I'm going... You know, that's when I went, Jesus, what have I done here? You're like, now get yourself out of it. Now, of course, the way you get yourself out of it is you just simply allow and trust.
Yeah.
But so when the situation came up again the next day, I really got a clear hit. The key is not to even let myself get that riled up because you really just, even fixing the situation energetically, it seems like, because I got the sense that mass consciousness is like constantly on DEFCON 4 right now with, you know, pick a reason. This is not a difficult thing to figure out. So if you go into that fear-based space and that worry space and that total out of control, you know, why me, poor me, you know, pick one of those scenarios, getting out is not easy because the whole planet, it's like, it's a big space in the astral plane right now. It's a really big space.
And yeah. You could even use the word like locked in, you know. And
absolutely, yeah. Unlocking
it for yourself, you know, that's what you experience. But I also remember I said, you know, these are emotions or not fears, but these are places where they're still there in you, and it was almost like thank you to Keeney because she got you to look at something that you could work with and then go, because that's what happens, you know. I've done that so many times where it's 2 in the morning and you're like, oh, why aren't they home? And, there goes your imagination.
Yeah.
And, you know, you use all these, you know, what are they called? What's the Star Wars guy? No, the Star Wars guys, the ones, the Jedis. You know, you're trying to do your Jedi thing, like, get out of this, get out of this, get, you know, this uncomfortable place. But, you know, it really is about, you know, learning about why is this, this is really coming up to the surface so you can look at it. And, you know, I mean, after the fact, we kind of saw that, but in the moment.
Well, and I think, I just want to, because I'm learning more and more, it's not necessarily the why as much as, there's, you know, because I'm immediately now going to, listen, I know my issue is with trust. To me, it seems like the mental body, my mental game will play with the why, you know, because I've been in therapy for so many years trying to figure out the why. And
Yeah.
You know, the truth is, who cares why? I mean, at some level, it's just a matter of, because it's energetically
locking.
I mean,
it's
energetically locking us, right?
Yeah,
so,
it's the opposite of being free. So, yeah, you're right.
It's just being free.
It's just,
yeah.
So the wisdom of the experience, though, really was helpful, don't you think? I mean,
Well, it's what I seek, but that can come after you're out of it?
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, I'm an analyzer.
Oh, no,
let me rephrase that. I used to be an analyzer. Analyzing will not get you out of
no,
block.
No, this is too visceral. So.
Yeah, I had to just simply breathe. Gratitude was definitely helpful. I dealt with water. I put some water on my face, and I was going to take a bath, but I couldn't even sit still long enough to get in the tub, and I knew that. I mean, you know, I just ended up becoming exhausted, and then just, you know, because it was funny. After she showed up after this five-hour MIA period, she basically disappeared again. I mean, she, for the past, like, 4 days, 5 days, she hasn't been sleeping with me in my bedroom. And I don't know why. She, you know, she used to sleep with me every single night, and there's something going on. I'm very clear. I know my cat's behavior enough to know that the behavior is different. I'm just not freaking out about her different behavior now. I'm now really giving her the respect she deserves, which is, listen, you've got your duties to do as a soul on your journey. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you know, if it takes you out of my room and out of my sight, I need to honor that, period. You know, not that every time she goes to do something, you know,
that's a guilty mess. That's a good
point.
Yeah,
well, because I think a lot of us might come across, whether it's a cat, a child, a boyfriend, a boss, a friend.
No, that's a really good point.
Our journeys are going to take us in different directions, and I wouldn't take it personal. It's not personal. It's personal to the person experiencing it, but it's not being done to us as a personal, you know, I'm going to get you, because clearly my cat wasn't looking to upset me. She just was doing whatever it is she's doing. And to this day, I don't know what she's doing. But I am confident, and I do have a space of trust that whatever she's doing, I'll benefit from it because she's my partner. That's just what I choose to believe. I mean, I could choose to believe otherwise, but I guess when you have trust, you choose to see things from the affirming point of view instead of the
Fear
the other
control.
Side. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, now this is going to lead into something else that was really interesting. Because I'm going to share this with George in my interview on Thursday, but I'm going to share it tonight too because it's current and, you know, Janine hasn't even heard this yet. So
yeah.
It was really interesting. I had a dream, not last night, the night before, which is, was it this morning? You know, I don't know. It was either this morning that I woke up with a dream or the day before that I woke up. But it was after the Dakini initial incident. And what the dream is, it's really quite simple, but it's quite profound in its meaning. I have this mirror that is, it's a door mirror that just leans against my wall in my playroom. And in the dream, I fell into the mirror. The mirror became a portal, and I fell into the mirror. And, you know, I was going about on the in this other dimension. It felt like it was like a parallel reality. And I was going about this reality, and what was very interesting is I was noticing there was a lot of reptilians in this dream state that I was in. And it's so funny. I was talking to my ex-boyfriend tonight. I was telling him about the dream. He goes, "Were they good-looking reptilians?" I'm like, no, they pretty much look like alligators with a shorter snout. I don't know if there's such a thing as a good-looking reptilian. Anyways, there were a lot of reptilians, and, you know, I was kind of watching it. You know, I was witnessing these people. I was not in fear, but I definitely had a bit of an uncomfortableness because I fell through the mirror. So I was like, you know, how am I going to get back? You know, am I in their world? What's going on? What's going on? So I'm not quite sure how it ended up, but I ended up back at the mirror that was in the reptilian side. And what was really interesting was I looked in the mirror, and, of course, I was a reptilian.
Wow.
And then I woke up.
Wow.
Yeah, that, you know, pardon my French, but that fucked me up. That really, really, like, just wowed me. And, you know, I just sat with it and was like, you know, again, I preach a lot of things on the radio shows, and, you know, and it really hit me. I mean, I sat with this. I've been sitting with this since, you know, it happened. And the truth is I am part reptilian. That is an aspect of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that the aspect that I was healing from the fear is a reptilian part of me. Because it was the reptilian aspect of myself that was very much a part of my life when I did drugs.
Yeah.
Very much a part of my life. And so it's almost like understanding it not outside of me, but as myself, and actually integrating this aspect into myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think, it was almost like it was the final closure of what happened with Dakini. Because, you know, I'm happy to call myself a drug addict in this dimension, but up until today I was, you know, I wasn't exactly calling myself reptilian. I mean, I was, but not in my own heart. I had never seen myself as reptilian. And in the dream, I did see it. And, you know, instead of waking up going, get this out of me, I really got an understanding of this aspect. What it did is when I was so disconnected from my spirit, which is what happens when you do a lot of any kind of drug, in my humble opinion, anything that you do too much of, whether it be alcohol or coke or speed or meth or whatever, when you're separated from your spirit, it's like you get, well, I'll just speak for myself. I had a guardian. And the reptilian is definitely like accustomed to cold, dark, empty spaces. So to, you know what I mean? That it seems to be that's their playground. You know, the dark and the creepy and the disconnected from spirit, but there's so much purpose because, you know, I was protected, you know, as we talked last week, you know, when I'm running around looking, you know, running around the Bronx, you know, screaming my little head off for my $800, my reptilian was protecting me. Because, you know, that part of me wasn't afraid to be with me. Similar to how who you were wasn't afraid to be with me on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much to be said for the qualities that I'm speaking of, as opposed to just looking at them and going, you know, we got to ban that aspect. That aspect is bad. That aspect is, you know, mean and cold and doesn't know right from wrong. It's like, you know, we're in a dimension of polarity. There's going to be aspects that are bad, that are mean, and that purposely choose to do the wrong thing. That's part of polarity. This is, you know, the game has been drawn, and these are the characters that show up to play in it. It's like, to deny it, what I'm really sensing is to deny a tremendous awareness within self. Because it really is a very sacred experience that I am integrating this aspect of my being. It's almost like she's always been a part of me, but my belief has kept her on the outside. And, you know, she's been finally invited in to sit at the table with the hawk, I'm part cat, I'm part reptilian, and I believe I'm part dolphin. That's the part that just loves playing with the kids. So we all sat at the table, the dolphin, the hawk, the crocodile, and the cat. And you can't believe the unbelievable presence in just being when all of your being is there, you know, or is acknowledged.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I mean, so much. I mean, the fact that this is called the Mystical Mother Earth Show, I mean, it's so appropriate because what you got from Dakini, who's a cat, you know.
Right.
Yeah, the embracing of all of you, the integrating of all of you, the inclusion of all of you is, you know, the no one part of you is bad, the other part is good of you. It's absolutely extraordinary to me that, and it doesn't surprise me in some ways because of you, of the times, of this is like, the, you know, what happens. I mean, when all the energies are working with you, you're working with them, and there's the inclusion and the integration is everything. The not denying all this incredible part of you that, you know, got you through different parts of your life that are still very much with you, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's just like when I wrote The Magic Gown, and now that after, you know, talking to you about many things, including you wondering about, you know, the reptile, the cat, the bird, you know, which I think we are so genetically all of them the embracing of our complete aspects is the, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it except that I feel that what you just explained and the going into the mirror it's just extraordinary. I'm so glad I didn't hear this before.
Nice.
But when I, you know, wrote the gown, I mean, I would not have realized that I was expressing aspects of myself which were bird, moth, reptile, dragon, tiger, big eagles, colorful eagles, an elephant, a blue elephant. I mean, a fish, a golden trout. A little girl who's a princess, a little girl who's just ordinary, a boy who's an adventurer, soon to be king.
Absolutely.
All these aspects of integration that, it's just beautiful, extraordinary. And I mean, I hope the listeners are getting this, that, this is what you've been talking about that I think might put people off at times, when in fact I'm going, oh, this is brilliant, that to embrace all aspects of ourself, that is the lock, that is the key to the lock. And
it is.
Agree. And it's,
I agree.
It's, yeah. And so you used the word invitation and I wrote down the word inclusion, of yourself, and it's just, it's just amazing to me, the dream.
Yeah, well, it's a journey that I don't think, I believe it's universal. We're all going to, at some point in time, go through this, because, I will definitely admit, it freaked me out when I saw myself as a crocodile in the mirror, but I'll be honest with you, I was pretty freaked out when I was just in their world. And, it's like, because, it's so funny. The power of my beliefs wanting me to be, pretty and sweet and a good girl are just incredibly strong. Incredibly strong. And, I see how the whole, it's so interesting, because the more aware I am becoming of these aspects that they're not just in me. I mean, I'm watching movies where you put on a pair of sunglasses and you can see, the difference between the reptilians and the humans. And, George Kavassalis, who brings tremendous awareness to my experience through his experiences. And, David Icke. It's like, it just seems so interesting how, we're coming to a time in history where this is not just about understanding who we are, but if we can understand us in the microcosm, we can understand the macrocosm. And I really believe that in understanding the macrocosm, if your goal is to, ride this organic wave into the fifth dimension, which is my goal, we have to be unified. I really believe you have to unify yourself, at least within your own experience, because it's the unification of your experience that is the energy that's creating the ability to see the organic portals.
Well, anything uncovered about yourself will lock you out of that. You know what I mean? Like you looked in the mirror and you saw it, and you went, whoa. But integration is occurring, and anything that, we're not willing to look at about ourselves locks us out of the fifth dimension or the organic, I just call it beauty or the shimmering world or when I tell you that story, I think it was last week, and I told it very, not really from beginning to end and cohesive, but it was all about this. And that's what's so amazing, because now I'm seeing when this woman at the bottom of the river is whispering to the other people, lick my wounds, and basically she's inviting them to embrace all aspects of themselves, because the woman is them. The wounds are as important as the beauty, and or the ugliness, or and when the person who did it, that was the moment of transformation and wholeness. And that basically, to me, is what, to me, your dream was activated by Dakini, and that whole activation. I mean, with, of course, your...
Can I ask you a question, though? Where did you get that? Because you can't... It's very synchronistic. Where did you get the premise of licking the wound?
It's an African story about how every story has a teaching. The teaching of that story was not to be afraid. to go down into the depths and look at yourself with all your wounds and lick them and, you know, just, you know, it's like, ugh. No.
The whole opposite of the Purell experience.
That is the turning point for all of us when we can, you know, look in the mirror, see the reptilian, say hello, you know, you're invited to the party. You know, it's like, I really think that was the premise of that story, which was
okay.
So powerful when it was told.
I think
to
you're absolutely on the ball with that. Yeah. Well, there is Mikiyako or Mikiyoko. There's some Japanese guy who does these cartoons.
Okay.
They're very spiritual in
they're
nature.
They're beautiful.
I just watched one yesterday.
Yes.
And it was so funny. I've seen one, but I've seen it twice. I've seen this the first time I saw it about 2 years ago, and then I've just been literally YouTube hopping for like the last 4 or 5 days. I don't even know why, I just am. And I came across it again, and it actually showed up in George's forum as well, and I watched it, and one of the key points was there were a couple of times where the very enlightened beings, the characters that were very enlightened, were more than willing to suck the blood of wounds that were made by shot, like bullet holes, and where the enemy had basically shot at a wolf. And
And remember that big creature was really disgusting. That we used to take a bath, and the little girl, which I'll bring that up too, because that's brilliant. The little girl was willing to clean the wound of this hideous monster. And she pulled out the splinter that then, like, the monster released, like, I don't know, tons and tons and tons of garbage. And then it became this much more, a whole different being. And why I say the little girl, which is so amazing, is because I noticed on your Facebook, you had, like, this picture of a fire.
Yes.
And whatever
today.
It was, you said that the child would
Firebird.
You said that the child would be the one, or the childlike quality of us would be the one to deal with that place. Did you say that?
Yes. Well, I essentially said in order to deal with the energies of today, it's not our warriors that are dealing with the energy.
Right.
The one that's going to master the energies of today is the inner child.
But that Japanese, he's an animator and filmmaker. His name is Hayao Miyazaki, and it's H-A-Y-A-O, and then M-I-Y-A-Z-A-K-I. And my son turned me onto those, and I've seen most of them, and they are beautiful, brilliant, and they deal with, like the Japanese do a lot, it deals with the light and the dark so beautifully.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, it was because
this is not all sugar, you know.
No, what's so interesting is, like, now we get into step three. It's almost like, okay, now here's phase three of, like, first there's the Kini, and then there's the integration and the dream. And then in phase three, I mean, here's something that I've been noticing that is, it's almost hard for me not to notice. I will say something like, okay, Polar Bear about a year ago put in a new stereo in my car, a digital stereo. I'm not exactly techno savvy, you know. I'm really techno stupid. So just the other day, I was like, I'm going to have to get online. I should write down the name of this stereo because I got to get online and basically find it, the book that tells you how to do things. Because it would be great to be able to adjust the bass and, you know, make the sound more to what I want.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, lo and behold, like a day later, I get in my car, I just happen to hit a button, and the bass thing shows up. And then I hit another button, and it shows me how to make it go up and down. And, like, literally, the knowledge that I have just requested is now literally, I can feel it's in me already. And I'm, like, plugging away at my stereo going, oh, this is the way you do it. And okay, great. Now I have the treble up where I want it. I have the bass down. And I was just like, now that was the first thing. And then, I mean, I set out an intention to know if Beyonce. I really wanted to know, is Beyonce going to be, you know, working for the Illuminati, telling people, you know, come on the spaceships, or, you know, because personally, I like Beyonce. I think she exudes presence. In my humble opinion, when I hear her speak, her humility alone feels very, it's like, wow, you're in all this star-based, massive, mega stardom. And when she speaks, she's very humble. And lo and behold, I find this video, this documentary on music and the Illuminati. And it just comes out that, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce are actually pretty much owned by the Illuminati. And then, of course, I found a separate video that literally showed Beyonce saying, it's like in a 1.5-minute video, why was I blessed with this talent? You know, well, I guess I better just trust it because, you know, like I can't turn back now. It was like this confessional video. And I was like, whoa, okay, that's deep. Because, and if you watch the music video, it really shows how fame and fortune has a great price when it comes down to, I'll put it this way. The people that make you clearly will break you if you don't follow the rules that they play by. You know, in other words, people are being bought and sold like slaves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they're doing it through careers and they're doing it through, you know, they'll pump you up to make you mega stardom. And Eminem, a good portion of it is about Eminem and how he wanted to stop rapping about the negativity because he had he didn't really have the negativity in him anymore once he became a mega star and all that money. And the industry was basically like, no, you're still going to rap about violence and anger.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, they were like, we're not asking, we're telling you. And,
yeah.
You know, this whole battle, the documentary is really well made and it shows, you know, the trials and tribulations of basically what it was is somebody awakening in the midst of being owned by a corporation.
Hmm.
I mean, because that's what it is. And now that was not only profound because of the Beyonce thing, but me and Janine had been talking a couple of days ago, and I had literally said to Janine, you know, I'm in the radio business here. You know, I have had dreams of being, you know, mega sponsored and, you know, having, you know, a million listeners, you know, every week. And then I saw this documentary and went, wow, you know, truth be told, I'm happy staying small.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that if we're going to get big, it will be organic. In other words, you guys will just find me. Word of mouth, whatever. It will not be because some big company comes, you know, and says, okay, we're gonna sponsor your show and then we're going to own you. You know, we're going to have a contract over you. Cause
yeah, it's like fabricated, you know.
It is.
As opposed to organic and authentic. Yeah.
And you're ending up doing their bidding. You know, they really, the whole term control is like so blatant in that experience. And, you know, I mean, it's just been an amazing few days because I've been wanting to go to the woods, but for whatever the reason, every time I go to put my woods clothes on, my body shuts down and goes, no, you're not going to the woods. So for the past few days, you know, yeah, no, I hear you. I'm fine with that because I'll be honest with you.
My version is you've been in the woods, you know. I mean, it's a different kind of woods, but
you certainly have. Oh, wow.
I don't know if you saw what I posted on the Mystical Mother Earth Show event page, but
I did. I can look.
Right before I posted these woods that I painted this weekend on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, nice!
And I said that, but that to me is where I was this weekend. You were probably there too, and I just call it the shimmering world. And I say that I don't. Do you see it there?
I do.
Yeah.
I'll share it. Yeah.
And what does it say, though? It says something.
Inspired by nature, we are in the shimmering world, if you notice, in stillness and compassion.
Yeah, and so, you know, I just posted that intuitively. I didn't even think about why I was doing it.
I love it.
but but
that's how we fly around here. We just fly like that.
but truly, I mean, these are the worlds that I just feel, you know, we're in, regardless if you're in your home or, I mean, I just think this is the work right now. This is the organic work.
Awareness is truly profound. I mean, I can't, what I am learning is if we're willing to be transparent with ourselves, mm-hmm. hands down, the truth will be shown to us. I mean, can you handle it? Can you handle looking in a mirror and seeing a reptilian look back at you? Well, I mean, I'm asking that sincerely, though, because if you can handle it, it won't haunt you anymore.
It's wild.
It will sit at your table and bring an incredible amount of strength and wisdom.
But let's face it, you know, you might look at me and go, oh, my God, I see Mr. H. Murr. Or, oh, my God, I see Nina the Shimmering World, you know, sea creature underneath. Or, Janine, you're looking like a blue elephant today. Or, you know, now, you know, I am all those aspects. You couldn't have said it better about integration. That's it. It's about integration. And, you know, I was writing down, for fun, because I love words and things, I wrote down number one, activation. Number two, invitation. And number three, and invitation / integration. And this was all under the guise of like this trust aspect. And then I have number three, and I wasn't sure what the word was for number three, but it must be, for me, it would be about authenticity and, you know, and sovereignty. Because it's about not selling out, you know, it's about ownership of, you know, your authenticity and trusting that, you know, that. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's so amazing.
I just want to say one thing because this mm-hmm. is hitting me also that, like, I've been doing a lot of looking at my own arrogance.
Okay.
Because, see, it's so ironic. The reptilian is very arrogant. That part of me, and I believe that part of the arrogance in all of us, you know, is reptilian-based. And when I mean arrogance, I'm talking about, like, I had beliefs that because I've done spiritual work and I could word these things on Facebook that, you know, I was definitely going to ascend, and someone who had not picked up a spiritual book or didn't quite get what I was saying, they weren't going to ascend. And I can't tell you how clear I am in that, you know, I had my own elite thing going on. My thing was intellect. That was my, I'm better than you because I'm smart. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I'm better than you because I'm smart. And, you know, George actually says in one of his talks, he's like, you know, you guys should all feel great that a normal, very average person like myself has got it, because you don't need any schooling. You don't need any kind of money. You know, it's like I'm proof that it's just a part, it's what's inside of you activated. It doesn't come from an outside source. In other words, intellect is something I had to pick up a book or listen to a channeling, or, you know, it was always, my source was always outside of me. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's, you know, the big joke's on you, Goldie. It's all within you. It's not, it's not outside of me.
Well, you know, it's funny because in that awareness that, because I've heard you say that before, and I think that's a good,
I'm getting it deeper, so to
speak. Anywhere that we might feel self-righteous, I think, is a really good place to look at, you know, and just sort of look at it. It's not, you know, but I do think that when you you sort of downgrade all that stuff and don't hold that in its, you know, superior, you know, I think what picks up is,
exactly.
is the intuitive intelligence, and that's where I see, like, you know, all then all the amazing spontaneity of all the forces and the, you know, myth and symbols and, you know, all the imagery.
Yes.
And the imagination.
That's funny you say that, symbols. Yeah, I'm seeing symbols in my...
Oh yeah,
I'll
the
just
stars.
See pages of them. Yeah, I don't even know what language it is. I just
but see,
and
that's
I'm laughing
an intelligence.
I go, it isn't. It's a light language. That's what.
Yeah, and it's an intuitive intelligence that's just natural in the world of like nature and, you know, the subtleties and the dimensions. But it's true that once you give, I love that you know, the intellect, you give up that sort of quote constructed materialistic concept
yes.
of what, and you, yes. you drop into this other place of just, you know, almost like, you know, funny that it would be almost what the Aborigines would say, of course, that, of course, it's the language
yes.
of it's the language of
yes.
nature, you know, it's the language of symbols and myth and story and, you know,
lore.
Yeah, so,
yes.
Right, so it's so great that, you know, looking at that, It, once again, you just get released from some kind of lockup.
So true.
It's true.
I mean, it's like a level. There, it's like it's happening in levels.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow.
Definitely, though. Definitely. Yeah, no, it's the awareness is flooding in. I mean, I can't tell you how excited I am. And I'll tell you, with the awareness, comes a confidence that is so much more stable than babbling word confidence that, you know, I was there, I'm a confident person, yet, boy, take Dakini away, and all of a sudden I didn't think I was going through the portals. You know, that's not real confidence. That means genuinely I was insecure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the confidence that I'm talking about is really, because it's so funny, on last Thursday's show, I literally said with Anthony that I was going to go into a desert all by
right.
myself. Yeah, and, you know.
The Vision Quest.
Again, people. Pardon?
The Vision Quest.
The Vision Quest, absolutely.
It was as if you were in one.
Right here in the middle of my house. I mean, my father left, the cat left, and I melted down. I mean, definitely.
That's amazing.
No,
yeah.
But really.
You know, that's amazing. That's really what happened.
Yeah. Well, which shows you that if you have the intent to do it, you know, it's interesting. Somebody
yeah,
was writing on one of the...
But it's so, part of... You didn't... You know, what I love about it is, like, you didn't know how much you were speaking, what really... What would unfold. You,
right.
You know, that's the intuitive intelligence that, like, I'm talking about. It's like... Hold on to your hat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's also why we invite you guys to talk on the air, because...
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, you know, if you say it, and it, you know, it's going to come down. It's going to come down. But I'll tell you, there was a post on trust, and there was something really interesting that was posted, because I was having this conversation. Oh, big shout-out to Michelle tonight. Michelle's listening. Hi, Michelle. Michelle,
oh, hi,
you remember
Michelle.
The post.
Yeah,
yeah, this is actually a dialogue between me and Michelle. And,
okay.
And she was writing that, you know, she wrote that she trusted life, but often she would find after she made a choice, it would be the wrong choice. And she knew it was the right choice, but the choice just felt so wrong. And I was
okay.
like, you know, trust is not about right and wrong. Trust is about committing to going through the experience.
Exactly.
Because if you go through the experience, i.e. what we just did, the integration.
Yes.
You know, there is no wrong choice. I mean, I'm, you know, I couldn't be more pleased that Dakini found a portal in the house or whatever it is she did. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it really, as you so eloquently have already stated, I mean, it has led to an integrative part for me that, you know, in my humble opinion, no book has ever gotten me that.
Oh, no.
No choreographed building of my Merkaba has ever gotten me that. It was gotten because simply I was, you know, compassion, trust, and, you know, just allowing a very scary feeling to be. Mm-hmm. It's just simple. It's funny how, you know, if we just kind of walk through our fears without making them go away. And I'm telling you guys, have a friend on hand like Janine who doesn't try and get you out of it. You don't. It's not about being coerced out of it through your thoughts. Lots of us do that, but then you're not getting the experience. The key is to feel the experience, to feel the fear, because I don't know what it does, but there's something within the alchemy of feeling it that creates the new ability to have the confidence afterwards. It's like, wow, I'm good. I can handle this now.
Yeah, that is the chemistry.
Yeah.
So what were you saying about Michelle, though? Because
that was our dialogue.
Okay.
About trust was with her.
So she trusted something, but it didn't necessarily feel good. I was trying to get that. What?
She trusts herself, but she'll find that she'll make decisions, and
okay.
then after she makes a decision, she feels it's the wrong decision, but
okay.
she had to do it anyways. And I'm like, well, that's right. That's what trust is. It's
right.
not about the decision being wrong. It's
right.
It's that
okay.
you needed to go through it, and that's a beautiful space to be in.
Right, and it is interesting now that you're saying this that I do recall you had posted the big word trust on
that
Friday.
That was what it was. Yes. Yes.
And then you and I do recall Michelle's name being there. So you, I don't recall that you had that
so
interaction.
So this conversation actually took place in the midst of Dakini being missing.
Oh, okay. So
I posted it in the morning. But the experience of Dakini missing and me freaking out about it, that happened, you know, from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
But see, it's so funny because I find these to be those forces, those subtle, those creative forces, those, you know, they're there. I can't necessarily describe them intellectually, but we shouldn't even try. They're just, if you go with them, it's like what a vision quest is. You are cooperating with something by saying,
yes.
I am willing. And then
yes.
it's like, woohoo, here we go. It's like, wait, I don't know if I really meant that.
It's so funny because I kept calling Polar Bear going, all right, listen, I'm going to come to your house. Just give me a few hours. And then I call him in a few hours and go, okay, well, give me a few more hours. And then finally I went, okay, you get that I'm staying home? He's like, yeah, I get that. And I was
yeah.
like, because I kept thinking I wanted to run away from it. And every
yeah.
time I did, again, the body went, no, you're not going anywhere. Just chill. Just chill. Be alone. Be with because, like I said, even that night, Dakini, when I woke up the next morning, was not in my bed. She had disappeared on several occasions on Saturday. It was just so, you know, it was profound. Because, you know, one of the other things that was kind of interesting about being present that you were talking about, there were points in time where I went into, you know, if Dakini doesn't show up and I have to do, you know, this radio show and then
my radio
show with George, I mean, I was really getting into like, oh, my God, how am I going to, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the show with, you know, the interview with George because I wouldn't be in a place where I felt, you know, at ease to interview him when my cat just disappeared, you know, and at that point it would have been, you know, 6 days since she was gone and, you know, it really became clear in those moments, you know, almost like there was a part of me that was just, and probably the reptilian, to be honest, it was just kind of slapping me in my face going, will you just stay present?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just knock that shit out. Knock it off. Knock it off. This is, because it you could so tell there was no serving me going into that space. It's like, it's Friday, the interview is 7 days away or whatever, 6 days away, relax, you're only on Friday in hour three with Dakini missing, you know, like,
yeah.
perhaps something would, you know, and it's like, you know, you really get, like, it's okay to use the mind when the mind comes in and basically, like, I could hear another part of my mind, probably my hawk, going, you know, you're really jumping to a massive conclusion there. Perhaps
yeah.
you should just stay with the next minute or the next hour. You know, just do something. And it's funny because I did paint that night. I did this folding paint thing where I folded it in half, and on one side I just did what's the guy who just used to tip the paint that we talked about last week?
Oh, Pollock.
Pollock. I did it kind of like a Pollock, and then
thing.
I folded exactly, and then I folded it. And what was so interesting about the picture, which I realized the next day when I let it dry, was there just was naturally this smiley face being.
Did you post that?
No, but I will.
Oh, yeah, that would be great to see.
Yeah, I kind of kept it private only because it was, you know, I wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to. It's an interesting thing being raw.
I'd like to see it.
It really is. But yes, I will definitely post it. And so it's like I'm really starting to learn to use the, you know, the gifts of creativity. Another thing I did is I didn't create with the Play-Doh.
Yeah.
But I was just mushing it in my hands, just to keep my hands moving. That became very therapeutic for me. I was like, wow, that just, you know, after a while, I was like, okay, I'm tired, but that felt really good. You know,
I mean, you do what you do to get through something as a, you know, and, you know, utilizing all, I didn't know that, but that was great. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I kind of just, because it wasn't like I was, the first time I had done it with the art, you know, I was ready to do it from a celebration point of view.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time I had done art, really, you know, from the Picasso, I don't have an ear point of view.
Yes.
You know, and it is a different experience when you're doing it from that point of view.
Oh, and I've done a lot of those, you know, where you're just like, ah, this is, you know, there's a lot of, like, discomfort and angst and it's interesting to see what comes out in those works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like even that forest that I painted that you see on there, that went through so many different metamorphoses, and I would go, first I'd like it, then I was like, ugh, and I literally would take a rag and just wipe the entire canvas so that it just looked and eventually, after maybe, I don't know, 8 times of just going over different, you know, it was like, oh.
Nice. Yeah,
and it was. So, I mean, that's the amazing part of creativity, too, you know.
Yeah, and I've always told the kids, you can't do it wrong. I mean,
no.
That's what I like. You know, you can't do it wrong. You just can't, because I just needed to express something. I mean, I got that there. It was almost like, you know, I had a lot of angst in me, exactly like you were saying. I had a lot of anxiety and, you know, just
turmoil and discomfort.
Yeah. And it's almost like as much as I was giving my reptilian aspect a place at the table, I was actually giving my angst and anxiety a place at the table because instead of trying desperately to get rid of it, I just actually was expressing it. Like, oh, here it is, you know. Because I was almost like picking dark colors. I mean, at one point I picked up pink and I went, that just won't do.
That's great.
It was a moment. I chuckled for like 0.5 seconds and then went back to misery. But it was very interesting. The whole weekend, because truth be told, at this point in time of the game, I wouldn't give up the weekend for anything. I mean,
no.
I'm really ecstatic for the awareness that I have and the confidence and the calmness. I mean, it's like the storm has passed, the integration has been had, all beings are at the table. It's like, okay, I'm feeling really like if there's a storm that's coming, we're ready.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you said something about, and the interview with George, I was like, I know, I even said to you, yes, you can do that, you know? I was
you
knew that.
Well, it's like part of me is going, there's no way I'm going to cancel, and yet a part of me is going,
not.
You know, God damn it, I better be okay for this, and, you know, and until I am, I don't, you know, I'm afraid I'm not going to be. It's so easy to go into the fear of what we think,
And you know what I want to say, and this is definitely interrelated, or integrated, or that last Monday, I thought the topic of really, it was another visceral experience of you, and we discussed anger, and the next day I felt that was a really powerful show in that it was such an important subject. And I love that this show and last show are an integration of parts of us that hold a lot of power, that if we don't deal with them, if we don't deal with them in a way that is integrative, and that we do lock ourselves out. We do.
Well, not just lock ourselves out. That power is then used against us.
Okay. And I also feel
In my opinion.
Right. Okay. And
in other words, there's a lot of power flowing through us, but that lockout is like the power goes out in our auras and then comes right back into us, you know, basically sabotaging, you know, insecurities that don't go away.
Which, of course, the vibe off of us would be very disjointed. It would be probably beneficial, as you're saying, to be useful for others, you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not for others. I mean, I think everybody pretty much gets it. I'm as selfish as they get. You know, I'm doing this work because I'm going through the fifth dimensional portal. You know, anybody else who's coming, by golly, I'm happy. Let's do it. But I don't necessarily fly with the I have to heal the world in order to
No, I meant in terms of like manipulation. When people are in fear, they're actually throwing a vibe that is beneficial to say, you know, other sources, other entities, other. That's
oh,
what
I see
meant.
What you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, definitely they feed off of the fear, but I don't quite understand it. I just know that when we don't integrate our authenticness, who we are, I mean, it's something that, in other words, is never going to change. If there's a part of you that's reptilian, and by the way, you know, hello, we have a reptilian part of our brain. I believe we're all reptilian.
Yeah, of course.
You can take that or you
don't
have to.
No, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree with that.
If you don't acknowledge that, then the not wanting to look at your own reptilian will put you in places, spaces, and energies that are truly going to, you know, F you up, really, because it's almost like you're not letting that part of you shine, so then it's not going to shine. You know, if you don't give your reptilian power, well, then you're going to find yourself in bad spaces, not in power.
Yeah, and what I say locked up is because I feel the more integration and invitation and, you know, sort of confrontation of those parts of ourselves and then including them, I feel like the ceiling keeps getting lifted off of awareness. Like, I feel that, like, literally. And
I agree.
Like, and I do feel, you know, it's like, okay, so limitation versus ceiling has lifted. Ceiling. And I feel that
limitless.
That is...
Yeah.
Yeah. I really feel that that's something that's happening currently. You know, so...
I agree.
And on sense
energetically, again, something's happening currently that it just makes sense to follow the guidance of who you are. And, you know, because the whole notion, know thyself,
I think
that's what this is about. And, again, know thyself, but know that it's okay to... it's okay to have an aspect of us that really served us when we were very deep in the illusion of the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's interesting. I'm finding from my own awareness, and even what I saw in that music video thing, that music documentary thing, you know, the more I awaken to my experience, you know, the less I find myself in families that aren't tolerant of, you know, my shamanic ways and, you know, my, you know, just Goldie's style of who she is.
Yeah.
Because there's this, like, natural law of attraction. As you awaken and own who you are, you'll naturally be put in situations that are tolerant to who you are, as opposed to... You know, and again, I mean, sometimes, and then again, you have people like, you know, Eminem, who, you know, is awakening to his anger issues and all, you know, his angry situation, going, I'd like to be somebody else. And, you know, the powers that be went, well, too bad. You know, we want you angry.
Yeah.
You know, or at least singing about anger. And so So I guess there's no, and George says this, there's never one blanket situation that applies to everybody. Even though, Janine, your shares are awesome. I'm a little schizo right now because.
What do you mean?
Meaning I'm trying to explain things, and I think I'm unexplaining things that have already been explained.
No,
you
got it.
Well, yeah, you are doing beautifully, and.
And so are you.
It's all good.
So are you. It's been an incredible demonstration to me. Like, the unfolding and listening to you, and from last week's show of Monday, which I thought was very powerful, to Thursday, when you said, I'm going in the desert, or I'm in the desert. I didn't hear that show.
Yeah, no, I'm going. Yeah.
You did.
And
I knew it
intuitively.
You did.
But I didn't know what it looked like. I just knew I was going to be alone, and that's why. But that part didn't even come up for me until after I was okay with, you know, it's funny because.
Yeah.
You would think, you know, and then once you're in the loan, well, what are you screaming about? Like, you kind of called it last night. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess I kind of did.
Yeah, no, it's
just interesting.
It's beautiful. And demonstration and experience are, you know, that's when someone can go along with you and, you know, I'm following you. It's incredible.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Yeah.
It is incredible to have someone follow too. I have never, until you've come into my life, I have never experienced that. Because, you know, as much as I love Polar Bear, we just don't have that chemistry that what he says at the time that I'm in my chaos, it just comes across as, you just don't get it, never mind, forget it. You know, it's just not a resonance. His heart means well, and I know it. But we don't have that verbal communication that, you know, that calms me. And, you know, and I've pretty much figured that out, you know, so I don't really call him, except, you know, I've eliminated so many friends lately out of my life. It's like I need somebody to call. And, I mean, I'll be honest, I was like, having you to call was not just like a backup. I mean,
I got it.
You know, calling you was really like, wow, this is, you know, I have, you know, my friends have, you know, you're a new upgraded plan. You're like 7.0 in friendships. As far as knowing, because it's not that anybody's bad. It's just that we all have somebody, or let me put it this way, and I'll even ask it as a question. How many of us have somebody in our lives that can talk to us when we're totally going through dark nights of the soul? You know, and if you have someone like that in your life, be grateful.
Yeah.
Because I have done most of this journey without having that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate
that. Back at you. Back at you. You know, it's really an amazing thing just to be understood but you know what I think it is part of it, and I'm hearing this in my head. The reason why I now have somebody to understand me is because I know now it's not about getting me out of it. I don't need to be saved from these experiences. But, boy, remember, I was telling Janine this, remember What Dreams May Come, the movie with Robin Williams, when his wife commits suicide.
Yeah.
He told the guy who worked at the Akashic Records, I'm going to be with her in hell. And he was like, listen, after 5 minutes, you'll forget who you are and you'll be in hell too. And he was like, I don't care. I'll be with her in hell.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I thought of when Janine called back the second time. Unsolicited, she chose to be in hell with me. I mean, I was just like, wow. You know, and like Robin Williams, we came out.
Yeah.
I mean, literally within like a minute or two of hanging up the second time, Dakini showed up, and it was just.
Well,
you know,
that,
I don't think
know,
those timings are coincidental. I really don't.
I mean, you know, it sounds corny and it sounds cliche, but that's part of life, and life isn't always, you know, the pastel colors, and you know, I think that, yeah, I mean, that's.
I'll
just,
be honest with you, though, it is a part of life, but. I would say 80% of people on the planet don't know how to handle that part of life. I mean, most people don't want to talk about their own dark nights of the soul, let alone jump on somebody's ship that's going down.
Yeah, But you were. I mean, I was with you there, but I knew we were okay.
Right. I wasn't suicidal or anything.
No.
Well,
no.
I mean, I guess a part of me was dying, but not from the, you know.
But
it was still hell. It was. I was not exuding, you know, the radiant glow of, you know, love and light.
I don't know. I guess it's just one of my things, but
I
wanted to say that, and this is sharing a piece of me that I've had early experience with really difficult times. You know, my dad was in a very, very bad explosion when I was 15, and I can't really tell you that was really why. I know this sounds weird, but that's not necessarily maybe why I was really having a hard time when I was young, 15, 16, 17. But because I do think that, you know, I was a thinker. And for thinkers, you know, things don't always, or you feel life so much that you don't know, things don't always feel so, like, lovely and great and easy, because you're like, what is going on? You know, and it wasn't just about my father. It was about life and just the sensing and this sensitivity to everything. So, but I will tell you that, and why I am so honored to be a part of the Mystical Mother Earth Show, Living Inspired by Nature, is because that energy that was there for me when I was in those very hard places was nature. And it came to me through writing poetry that I literally, it was as if somebody said, you know, part of me obviously, but write poems, you know, of your love for nature. And I would write them in the middle of the night, tears running down my face. No awareness that I said, I'm going to write poetry. I didn't think it. But it was such what I would say is a saving grace that, like, I know that it was just a company for me that I'll never forget. I still carry it with me all the time. And it's what I really love to talk about, teach, and share. And that's why this show to me, or even being on the phone with you, you know, Golden Hawk, was that again. It was like, it was what poetry and nature was for me. And
right.
So I don't know, but over the years, you know, it's just, I've really come to, I guess you would call it an inspiration or strength from my love for nature and art, you know.
Well, and
art.
And your strength, because I'll be honest with you. Can I share what you initially were sharing with me on the phone
sure.
that night?
Sure.
You know, Janine immediately went into, you know, within 5 minutes I told her what had happened, and she immediately shared with me that when she was growing up, or, well, not even just when she was growing up, but she would have these fears that her children were not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I mean, and it wasn't
let's go even further back. Remember I said that when I was little, I would get up in the middle of the night and check on my parents because
I didn't know if you want to share that. That's
Okay. No, there was these fears, and, you know, that I had to deal with, these fears.
That's
and
exactly
they could
right.
even be called phobias. You know, I don't know.
Yes.
But
well, how old were you when you were checking on your parents?
5, 6.
Yeah, that's
seven.
A phobia. I mean, because it's not like
8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, I mean, but I'll tell you, there's something really powerful when, if you're going through a fear that you recognize is partially mind-based, partially, you know, not all the facts are in place.
You know what's so cool about this? This could very much be in alignment to what you were saying, what it's like to be an addict and having all those fears and phobias. You know, I was a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, possibly having those same fears and phobias.
Absolutely.
Who knows where the source of those is? I don't know.
And
I mean,
I don't either. George basically said, well, I think that we come to this lifetime to balance ourselves out. See, this particular lifetime is not like we were in, you know, 1920, 1850, 1211, you know, this particular lifetime, we have to balance our souls out in order to be in the frequency so those that are going through the organic portals can go through the organic portals. So it's no longer a game of you have to be all good. You have to be all pure, and you can't have any dirt on your hands if you're going to ascend. No, quite the opposite. If you've been doing all the light work and the healing work for the, like, you know, last lifetime, well, this lifetime you better get your hands dirty, because balance means you know as much about the dark as you do about the light. Because in order to be a creator of light, you have to know about both.
Oh, definitely. And maybe that's – and also, you know, yes, you know, I would do that with my kids. I mean, I would go from 0 to 900 miles an hour, you know. Oh, they got stolen.
The crazy.
you know, but everything was, you know, it wasn't just a little something. It was the worst of the worst of the worst. So
right.
Yes, I had to really learn, you know, myself, but perhaps out of that comes a strength. You know,
perhaps. I mean, are you kidding me? Here, allow me to knight you, Sir Janine, with the sword of truth. I mean, I think the one reason why people will go into hell with you is because they've been there themselves and they're not afraid it's contagious.
Right.
The truth is, you knew what you were doing because you had healed that aspect of you, so you just walked me through it. And just your presence, really, it helped. It absolutely helped. But it didn't change me. It didn't take my experience away. You know, it's like you see all these meditations.
No, that
and
was
listen.
Yours.
Yeah, well, and you let it be mine.
Yeah.
You let it
yeah.
be mine. But listen, how many times do you see meditations that go around, you know, let's change the direction of the hurricane. Let's make it not happen here. And I'll be honest with you, I don't involve myself with those things.
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking to change what ultimately. We got to stop judging the negative experiences as something that's not soul based.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is involved in the negative. The soul is involved in the positive, the light, the dark, and it. You know, it's not in our highest good to intercept anyone from an experience their soul is creating for them.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, you're going to piss the soul off.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Absolutely. Well, for instance, this is a great, like, a visual for people. I don't know if – I think it was last time I spoke about when we talked about anger, and I talked about this training that I had done about uncertainty, and that in this training, someone came in. And this was out of nowhere, and it was in sacred space. But someone came in dressed as death, and there was this whole exercise. Now, obviously, the real impact was the experience with death, and the actual experiencing death, me giving away things to death, and also death taking things. The opposite learning would have been if I stood up and ran out of the room and said, I'm not dealing with death. That's it. You know, I would have really not done myself a great service. I would not have allowed myself the experience of confrontation with the ultimate, which is death. Hold on. Sorry.
No,
so
that's okay.
I think that just like the phone call with you, it was your experience. You know, I think you have to pick
now,
up.
Do you benefit, is there any benefit from your point of view from that experience?
What?
From this weekend, do you benefit from it at all?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than helping a friend, I mean, is there energetic? I don't know, because I'm also not so good sometimes. Do you? Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Hold on one second.
Okay, no problem.
I might be having a coughing moment here.
Okay. Okay, take a breath. All right, I'll talk for a second just
okay,
so you
good.
don't push yourself too quickly. Because one of the things that's very interesting, and I believe this with all my heart and soul, fear can only be neutralized one way. It's when we embrace it. You cannot run away from your fears because they'll show up in another person, they'll show up in another city, they'll show up in your body if you're denying them. The denial... You know, and again, I mean, the only thing that comes to my head right now, as I said, is unless, of course, you know, you don't want to ascend this lifetime, and that's okay.
I do have something to say.
But by golly,
now,
if you're listening to my radio shows or me and Janine, I mean, come on, damn it. This is the lifetime to ascend.
Oh, by the way.
We can do this.
And by the way, this is where all the fun and the funny thing is, as crazy as this sounds, it's where all the fun is. Because
it is where all,
you know,
right on.
Asking me, did I benefit? Of course I did. First of all, you invited me into a sacred space. Now,
right.
Yes,
I didn't even see it that way. Right.
You did.
Okay.
And the sacred space is still going on because I learned so much from tonight's show. You know, like the unfolding was incredible. I mean, it involved dream time, which is, you know, one of my key favorites that I feel we're integrating with our dream time all the time. So I do feel that, you know, it's an honor.
I love you, Janine. You are fantastic.
It is truly an honor to be invited into someone's sacred space of the deep work, of the dark, of the, you know, that's where the soul is. And I'm going, of course. And anyone, truly, if you get to, like, experience that, it's incredibly beautiful. You know, it's just that we've been taught, oh, run away. That's not, no. I mean, and I don't know why. I guess all my life I've been preparing for this, but it's truly, you know, what I guess I taught myself or from a little kid.
Well, it's what your soul knew you could handle, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Janine going, you know, I would assume many of the people that are going through, I'm not even going to call it the ascension anymore. Many people that are going through the idea that we have to dance in the dark in order to balance ourselves in order to go through the ascension. Because I really get that. It's no longer, there's no one way to go through the ascension. You don't have to read the books. You don't have to build the Merkabahs. That's all crap and it's all mental. But the people that have chosen, or their souls have chosen that the childhood is going to be the difficult time, there's this amazing presence that's with us now as adults. And I want to call us adult children.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you write children's books, I'm a nanny. You know, I see it in lots of people that are artistic and creative. And it's not, even if they're not making a living out of being artistic and creative. You know, there's just aspects of them that are, you know, they write certain things or they're making YouTube videos. It doesn't even matter. You can just... Creativity comes in so many different ways, but there's something really amazing that is transpiring, you know, between the people that really grew up challenged in their childhood, that the energy now, instead of taking us out, you know, down and out, the energies that are coming into the planet now are making everything make sense.
Yeah.
For everything we went through. And, you know, it's like, that's magical, man, because, you know, I'm not trying to be a martyr because that has never been my style. But I when I was a kid, it's like, you know, what the fuck, man? Why me? Why am I going through all this? You know, and my best friend was not going through anything that I was going through. You know, and now, you know, she's a raging alcoholic looking for Jesus, you know, and I am who I am.
You
know, kind of.
These, you know, the soul has its ways of, you know.
Right on.
Right?
Right on. Right on. And again, you know, I mean, I do still have judgmental in me. I'm working on it. Believe me, I'm working on it. But I'm also integrating in every level I integrate. Boy, there's just, and remember, we're still at the period of time right now where life is still appearing to be normal, I mean, from the third dimensional point of view. The third dimension is changing all over the place, but it like, we haven't really seen these dramatic changes in the sense of from a world perspective, where something, you know, happens that it literally affects the world, whether it's world, you know, whether it's earthquakes and volcanoes or whether it's spaceships in the sky. But, you know, the preparations that we're doing now, you know, fear not, because it is preparation for, you know, again, in my humble opinion, I'm with George. These changes are here. It's now. It's going to show up. And if you do the integration work, there's just a sense in my heart that you'll be much more prepared for, you know, for craziness, crazy deception things, you know, like, you know, aliens trying to convince us to get on spaceships, or the government, you know, telling us to, you know, step this way to Mars. I mean, it sounds all like, you know, a fantasy now, but I really do believe we are days, not weeks away from whatever is going to start blowing the top off of our basic reality and start showing us our true reality, which is, you know, I don't know, but something dramatic.
Yeah.
That's coming. You know, it's coming. So, you know, you're not doing the work in vain. You're doing the work in preparation, because once the chaos is here, it almost seems like it might be more difficult to do the work at that point, because there's already an entity or an experience trying to sway you in another, you know what I mean? Like, you're not doing it just being left to your own senses. You're doing it under the duress of, because something else wants you to do something otherwise. You know, like, how do you build trust for yourself unless you start doing things that show you trust yourself?
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, I mean, that's the whole point of holding your center as best you can, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Because I would imagine at this point everybody's going through stuff, because the truth is, it's not like you hit the button and go, okay, I'm ready for something to happen. We're all going through it right now. We are all going through it right now. I don't know how everybody else is, you know, handling it per se. We'd love for you to share if you feel like calling in. 646-929-2084 if you feel like calling in.
Yeah.
We still got 18 minutes left. And
do we have any listeners? Can you tell? Do we have chat room people?
We do have chat room people. Uh-huh. Dennis is here. We have four guests, and Polar Bear is here.
Chat room people, I like that.
You guys have been labeled chat room people. Oh, and we just lost some people. And Susan was here, but she left. I don't know. I don't know what happened with that. So, perhaps she'll be back, or if not, I'm sure she'll listen to the archives.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful to be on tonight. I was wondering if I could do it with my throat, but I'm doing it. So I'm
you're doing excellent too.
I'm really
happy. And I can hear when it starts getting like, you know, you really want to keep saying what you're saying.
I know, and it's not letting me. But I'm good right now.
Awesome.
I'm good right
awesome.
Now. If you want to ask me anything.
Okay. Yes. Well, I mean, I really did like the idea that that you felt that you benefited too from it, because
yes. Well,
you know,
of
that,
course.
So it's not like we're all just, you're not just all swimming in the hell, and then it's like, you know, well, you know, thanks for that. Now go, you know, hit the showers, babe.
Let me give you a great. This is truly,
please.
You know,
okay.
Someone said, was it art imitates life and life imitates art? But
yes.
You know, when you're, I mean, the whole experience itself is a learning for me. It, even as if, you know, I'm with you, you're going through something difficult, just as if I was reading a story, and it wasn't a story, but, you know, the hero is confronted with something really difficult.
Right, right,
and,
yes.
And you're with that hero in the story, you know, and, you know, you hang in there. You don't go, I'm not reading this book. You know, it's hard right now. You know, or you turn off the movie and go, no, that's it. You know, this is the hard part of the story. Forget about it. You know. So you stay with it now. You know, and because that's life. I mean, that's Shakespeare. That was you. It's sometimes me. You know, and the ability to. I mean, it wouldn't be the whole ride. It would just be half of it. I mean, if I'm your friend or you're mine, or you know, or you're with someone. It's not just the good or the light, it's everything, you know. It's like I'm in a rough place right now. It's like, okay, you know, problem with you, you know? And yeah. that's life. I mean, what would life be if it was all like, oh, everything's great, you know? Because I came out of that once again, I mean, changed and confirmation of like the, I'm in awe of the subtleties of your awareness of, you know, of the dream of you looking at yourself and seeing a reptile, you know, I mean, that's incredible to me. You know, I'm very aware.
I'm telling you guys, everyone should have some Janine rain down on their
system.
You're just an amazing friend. it's amazing.
You know,
you're amazing.
Thanks. And I'm very aware of, you know, we've talked about that too, about aspects of ourselves that are reptilian, aspects of ourselves that are bird-like, aspects of ourselves that are cat-like, aspects, you know, and then honestly, I see how I have, you know, hundreds of aspects of myself. You know, I mean, I'm a wild violet, a pine cone, a puddle. I mean, honestly, that there's, you know, it's, you know, it's like...
Nice.
Right? Right?
I said, not, well, most people can barely even picture themselves as anything but human, but... the puddle was good. I was like, wow.
Well, just wait for my next book, and you'll be like, wow.
Nice.
You know, because there's puddle fairies. There's puddle fairies in there that are... They're bad in the day and they regret it at night, but the very next day they start all over again.
I love them. I have puddle in me, definitely.
No, it's so great. No, but you know, so, like I said, honestly, you know, when people run away from conflict, it's like I sometimes go, or I have learned, because believe me, it was never, you know, it was never always like, yeah, isn't this great? But I have learned that the richest territory is right in there. It's like if you can stay in there and just hang in there, amazing things happen. And that's what, you know, honestly, it's where the magician who masters like conflict resolution, it's not because they go, okay, everybody, you know, think nice things. It's like, no.
Exactly.
We're going to stay in here. We're going to, you know, it's, yeah.
And we're going to alchemize.
It is an alchemy.
It literally is an alchemy. Because it's not changed through the mental body.
No.
It's literally...
Like,
the feeling itself is changing. I don't know, the birth of a new experience. I don't know. I can't even explain it. I don't know how it works.
I know, but all I know is like what a lot of people will run from. It's really where it's like stay put, you know, and that's where, and I know that that's not easy, you know, because you know, it's the conflict. It's the conflict, but once again, and we could talk about this another time too. It's where the paradoxes join, and then they become the integrated whole. It really is. It is. That's why I am fascinated with the subject of holding the space and creative tension, because it's that point where it's an integration, and you know, yeah. So
it's really mystical too. It's
so
mystical.
So with you, it wasn't someone said open a book and read about it. I experienced it with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that's fifth dimensional.
Probably.
Well, you know, where everything's in harmony. You know, with because I really was. I mean. I wish you guys could have heard me on the phone with Janine when she called back. You know, I mean, I was holding back tears because it was just like, wow. I mean, I, from my own perspective, I was just like, you know, she's voluntarily coming back to hell. You know, I was like, she did her good deed for the night. And, you know, she talked to me for a good hour. And then she called back. I mean, it was like there was so much compassion and, you know, and I know when I say a lot of the things like, you know, hey, I'm not here to help anybody else, I have not experienced a whole lot of help from human beings. Human beings are pretty much the source of most of my misery in this particular lifetime. But hands down, as I experience human beings genuinely giving me the care I need, which is the care of just simply holding space, not changing me, not trying to save me, just simply being with me in that, I promise you I will pay it forward. Because
you already have.
Thank you. I mean, but I have to give myself the ability to say that because I have said on several of my shows over the past 5 years, you know, this whole idea that, you know, we have to do for others in order to ascend, that, you know, I say poo-poo to that. But the truth is, you know, there is definitely a desire to help humanity. I've never felt stronger than that. But I'm learning, like, you know, first of all, holding space is, the way I usually help is I'm actually my own worst enemy, because the way I used to help, and I say used to because as if I'm turning over a new leaf tonight, is I'm always trying to make people realize their stuff. And you know what? That's really just as forcing the situation as it is someone trying to force me to get better.
Yeah, you know, it's strong-hearted. It comes up to my mind because I remember when, once again, I'll go to that number two thing, when you said what touches my heart, and I felt that so much when you said that, and you know, I think that's what you're talking about here, is that there's a strength in the connection of, you know, of, and I hear what you're saying, because, you know, saying yes, I'll be there for you. It's just, I don't know, it is an amazing thing to do that for someone, and also at times to have it done for you. And they are change masters. They are moments in life when, I don't know, you know, it's just, I guess it's the beautiful thing about humanity that we are capable of, that you know, but like I said, it's just I'm honored as much as you're honored. So it's kind of amazing, really. You know,
It is amazing. I mean, and you know, like, it was interesting because, like, tonight I was talking to Polar Bear on the phone, and you know, I'm getting the sense, like, I'm not talking as much on the phone. That's one of the things I'm noticing as a result from the anger from last week. And the less I talk on the phone, which is just working its way out, you know, organically, very naturally.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wow, you know, I'm not talking on the phone. You know, I'm really, I was literally like going to Polar Bear. I'm having an addiction. I need to talk. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the phone rings, and it's my ex, Greg. And he's like, you know, what's going on with your show tonight? You know, I've been sending him these videos from Mr. Comet Watch, and it's like he wanted to talk about everything I wanted to talk about. And the divinity was, he just showed up exactly when I said that. I mean, I was like, whoa. You
that
know, because.
Yeah,
it's like I'm just starting to notice the organic is so much better than the mental applied. You know, you know, just. Because one of the things I was like, you know, okay, should I call, you know, one of my old friends that, you know, I basically let go of? And I got, no, just be willing to sit with the idea now of wanting to talk on the phone, but not talking on the phone. You know, it's
that's
like,
great.
Yeah, I don't have to react just because I have a feeling. You know, it's almost like I'm reacting to the, you know, the a little discipline in the feeling.
Yeah.
And when I do that, the gifts are coming in organically, because it was a conversation that just left me thrilled, as opposed to the friend that I was considering calling. We often fight because I'm always pushing him to do something, and he's like, I don't want to be pushed. And, you know, he has every right to believe, to feel that. And, you know, it's like, but I was, you know, I didn't cave to the feeling when it was like, oh, you know, I haven't had, you know, your throat was hurting. I was so wanting to tell somebody about the dream and stuff. That's what, it's what ends up happening. I want to share what I'm going through, But I'll be honest with you, there's a place and a time that feels, you know, there's an addiction to do that, and then there's a divinity to do that.
Absolutely. And I mean, and look at the, you know, it, I mean, who could predict, you know, last time, I mean, that I would have a sore throat and hard for me to talk, and so it was better not to. And then to have me hear the dream organically tonight as it unfolded.
I know. That's true.
You know, it was so beautiful. And if you gave me a choice, that would have been the choice I would have liked, you know, because it was just perfect to hear it and experience it. And, you know, when
I do like that. And I have to honor that. And I believe me, I'm filing that, you know.
Yeah.
As I love talking with you, doing it on the air gives it a whole new flavor.
Yeah,
it does.
It really did.
It gives the show a whole new flavor.
It really did. And it was like when I did therapy with that person and I said, okay, pay attention to your dreams. And she goes, oh, I had one. I said, hold it. We'll talk about it when I see you. And it was so much more powerful, you know, to experience it fresh when we were together and just like we did tonight.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. You know, and when I wrote The Magic Gown, it was truly, I was in a really difficult place coming out of a marriage, you know, losing an old identity. My relationship with my kids was great, so that wasn't a problem. But it was really, really, like, you know, it was a Dakini moment. that went on for a long time. But whatever it is, like, I was almost, you know, I cooperated, obviously, but being taken on that artistic, you know, journey with the paintings and the story was truly, like, awesome. I was taken, and I let myself be taken. But that's exactly how, for me, your past 3 days have been. You know, that you were sort of taken, you know, and by this, on your own vision quest. And, you know, vision really is the key here because, you know, which is, I think, one of the reasons, and I won't go off too much on a tangent here, but I have a fascination with painting pine trees. But, you know, I love nature. I love the wilderness. But I have a feeling that this triangle, you know, of the pine tree, but it's symbolic to me, I think, on some deep level for vision. You know, an intuitive or a mystical vision, or the ability to have vision, and so I just feel like you've become much more adept at almost like paying attention to the little symbols and signals, like don't make the phone call and look what happens. You know, to that person.
Yeah.
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 So this is the you know, I just.
Well, wait a minute. And what you call it something, the divine tension. What is that?
Yeah, the creative tension.
The creative tension where you want to do something, but you don't.
You hold the space.
Or, go ahead. You explain it.
No. It literally is that. It's this buildup of tension that if you stay in it and with it, you know, it's just this metamorphosis into like a process that's like, wow, you know. And if you had almost prematurely acted or you didn't hold the tension, which is sometimes not easy, that's the whole point, you know. I heard an author say today, though, and then I'll quickly, because he used the word critical mass, which I loved, because someone said, hey, did you start writing your new book? And he goes, oh, no, I'm not ready. It hasn't reached critical mass yet, which means it has to build up in him to this point. And that's how I feel, you know, I need this this building up of creative tension, and then you can create. Here goes my throat again.
I feel so bad. It's like your crescendo.
Yeah. Okay, now you have to talk.
Well, we only have less than 2 minutes left. So
perfect. Your voice
will get a break, but we will definitely talk about creative tension. Obviously, we can clearly revisit this again, and I can share to reach Janine. You can go to her website to see her art, buy her book, just experience her presence at jlkimmel.com, and And she's available for sessions. I lucked out. I got her as a partner. But boy, if not, I would be calling her for sessions personally. And you're so welcome. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight with your throat not feeling well. I mean,
yeah, but I actually feel okay. It was the throat, but I think I did pretty good.
Okay, well, and I need you Thursday. So everybody, Thursday, this Thursday, we're doing another three-hour show. George Kavassalis, live from Australia. We will have a chat room open. Janine will be monitoring the chat room, and we'll take questions. But you got to be on the phone if you want to hear the last hour live, because I'm kind of stealing it from Facebook, stealing it from Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's this Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll see. I'll post it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. All right. I love all you guys. Thank you so much for being here. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, sharing these experiences with me and Janine, it is a tremendous gift. A tremendous gift. Thank you.
Good
Much
night.
Much love to everybody. I love you,
all
Janine.
Right.
Janine, if you don't want to talk tonight when the show's done, it's all good. I you call me if you want to. If not, I totally get it.
Just for a few
okay?
minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
I love everybody.
Love
Take care.
You.
Bye.
Bye.